stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 48 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't seen it, go to the South Harmon website and check out our rookie guide. We just updated it this past week to include all the information that we learned from the NFL Combine. All you need to do is go to draftguide25.com and check it out. In addition, if you have not joined the South Harmon community, you need to go do that. There you'll find a community of tons of people that talk about fantasy the same way that you do if you're listening to this podcast. Go to patreon.com/southharmon to sign up. This week, I want to recap an episode that I did last year, all the way back in episode 5. In episode 5, I talked about trade windows, and specifically how we as dynasty managers trade depending on the time of year. In those trade windows, I found that the most common time for trades was right around the time of rookie drafts and in the NFL season, but that there were some clear notable differences at different times of the year. And so I went through and I discovered some interesting things if you're trying to get some trades done. Right now, we're at the beginning of March, and at the beginning of March, it's one of the lowest points of the year for trade frequency. But as we start to get NFL news, it's going to start to pick up. Once we get into NFL free agency, we start to see more trades happen. Once we get closer to the draft, we start to see it pick up, and then we see that pick up throughout the entire offseason. With the exception of during all of those rookie drafts, you're going to see a huge spike. Once we get to the season, we see the number of trades rise week over week, all the way until the trade deadline of your respective league. If your league doesn't have a trade deadline, it spikes the most right before the final weeks of the playoffs. So keep that in mind, that trading is going to become more and more common as the year goes on, and you need to make sure you save some of that stamina for the end of the season, because that's when the trades can also have the most impact. But that doesn't mean that at this time of year you can't get trades done and that you shouldn't be looking for trades. This time of year is when you can actually focus in on your teams, what do you need to do, and you can slow roll it throughout the entire offseason. You don't need to try and force anything right now, but it allows you to have the opportunity to send out a bunch of offers and see what comes back to you, see what people accept, see what people reject. And this is the point of the year where you can start to fill in a lot of that information about your league mates and what they're trying to do. If you're making some trade offers and you see rejections, that is still something where you see, okay, I offered up this wide receiver for this draft pick and a lower tier wide receiver, and they rejected that. So they are obviously not looking to up tier at the wide receiver position. They probably feel confident with the top wide receivers that they have. Or maybe you're trying to go and take somebody's top wide receiver and you're offering two solid pieces in exchange. Well, they probably view that wide receiver as, hey, this is somebody that I really want to have on my team. They fit a spot in my lineup. And so now you know when the season comes, that might be the kind of person that they're looking for. If that receiver goes down, let's say this upcoming season, it's one of those top four wide receivers, your CeeDee Lambs, Ja'Marr Chases, Justin Jefferson, Malik Nabers, those kinds of guys. If they reject your trade offer now for them, that means when you get to the season and you're going, hey, one of those guys got injured and they're the manager that has them. What they're looking for is probably going to be that top wide receiver replacement. They're probably going to be looking for the player that can match that kind of production for their team. And so it's understanding those sorts of things makes a difference when you're going, okay, well, when I'm trying to give them a trade for one of those guys to vault myself up into that tier, I want to try to offer them my Amon-Ra St. Brown. I want to try to offer them my Drake London. And I don't want to choose two lower tier wide receivers like a Devonta Smith and a Jackson Smith and Jigba, because those guys are going to be much lower compared to how they are actually viewing those top tier wide receivers. But this point in the offseason, even though you aren't necessarily getting the trades done, can start to get you into the mindset of the other managers in your leagues. Another thing that we learned is that more trades get done during the week than on the weekends. So the 5 days, Monday through Friday, if you're sending trades out, people are more likely to accept then compared to the weekend. Maybe it's people are taking a break from fantasy on the weekend because they're taking the time in the offseason to spend it with their families. Or maybe it's just people are bored during the week at work and they're just like, I need something to put some excitement, and they're trying to get that trade done. I don't know exactly what the mindset is for everybody that's going out there and making trades without going out and interviewing everyone. But it is important to note that if you're going to sit there and spam out trades, maybe spam them out on Tuesday night as opposed to Saturday night. Because then you can get some better responses quicker. You can get some of that back and forth between you and the other managers. And you're going to be able to hopefully get done the kinds of moves that you're trying to make at this point in the offseason. I did a similar thing this past week. Anybody that is in a league of mine where I have Deebo Samuel, I spammed out a ton of trades trying to trade away Deebo Samuel. It's one of those things where he's an older wide receiver going to a new team that tends not to be the kind of thing that I like to take a bet on. So I'm going to say everyone is looking at this Deebo Samuel situation as it's going to be great for him. And so I just went through and spammed all my Deebo Samuel to everyone else in all of my leagues. I got a couple bites. I think I went from 4 total shares of Deebo Samuel down to 1. But notably, I spammed all of these trades out across Monday night and Tuesday night. And I had responses usually by the time that I woke up in the morning for the large majority of them. The one on Tuesday night, that one got accepted before I woke up. The two that got accepted for my Monday night trades, those ones were accepted the following morning by the 10 or 11 a.m. So you're able to get those responses relatively quickly during the week. Whereas on the weekend, you might be sitting there going, okay, I tried spamming out all my Deebo Samuel offers, but I didn't get anything. I didn't get a ton of people sending me counters. I didn't get people even just rejecting the trade offers before this point. And so you need to be looking at that and going, I need to try and catch my opposing managers at the right time. And that time is during the week. That's when they're more likely to see that notification on their phone and be able to pull it up and reply to it. Now, the new thing that I wanted to look at for this year is if the trading of people in Dynasty is changing at all year over year. What does it look like on a year-to-year perspective in terms of, are the number of trades being made in March versus the trades being made in September the same ratio? Or is that going up or down? So what I've done is I've gone through and normalized the past 4 seasons compared to their April trade timeframes. And the reason I chose April was because it was that time of year where I was having enough trades that I didn't feel like it was the absolute rock bottom. And it kind of felt like that in the middle number where I could compare every single year to that April amount and it's going to be something that we're relatively familiar with. It's a baseline that isn't when most of our managers are just completely away, taking a break from fantasy football. Usually around the April timeframe is when a lot of those managers will come back, and you'll start to see that uptick in league activity. Overall, the first 3 years of my data set, 2021, 2022, and 2023, they were relatively the same. I did notice a little bit of a higher spike in 2021 and 2023 in the May timeframe when we're having those rookie drafts, but it really wasn't that much. And the difference between the overall seasons between all 3 years was not too great. 2022 had a higher spike during that playoff portion, but anecdotally, I don't think it has to do with a year-over-year trend or something like that, as much as the fact that that specific year, 2022, was when we were having a bunch of backup running backs become relevant. And a lot of these guys were getting traded around when we got to the ends of the seasons and playoffs, because a lot of people were scrambling to fill that position when they had good rests of their teams, or they were trying to tank and all of a sudden finding themselves with players who were scoring points and they were trying to win that race to the bottom. So overall, that 2021, 2022, and 2023, I would consider them to all be more or less the same. 2024 is where things look a little bit different, and where I think we're starting to see some of this dynasty trend start to play out among all the people that are in dynasty leagues. In 2024, everything was muted. There was not anywhere near as high of trading volume compared to the April timeframe. There were more trades than ever before, keep that in mind, and that we had more leagues than ever before in Dynasty. The Dynasty field as a whole, it is growing. But what's different is that our number of trades in April versus later in the year, they were much closer. The peak was not as high when in May when our rookie drafts was happening. And during the season, it was markedly lower. Our 2021 and 2022, 2023 numbers for how different they were compared to April was that they were usually somewhere in the range of 8 to 10 times the number of trades in April when we got into the season. When we were looking at it in 2024, that number was dipping below 5 a good amount on depending on the day, and there was only literally one day that it exceeded 10 and it got all the way up to 11. All the rest of the time, the peaks, they were at 9 and going, dipping all the way back down into that 4 to 5 range. And that was the general range that we were looking at. So either the number of trades in April was significantly higher than they were in previous years, or the number of trades compared to the rest of the year were lower. And looking at the numbers that I have from my leagues, it looks like that the number of trades in April were higher. Now, February compared to April more or less matched exactly what we saw in previous years. And in terms of what we're seeing out of 2025, we're seeing the same thing so far in the month of February. But if we're looking at this across the entire season, I think what we're starting to see is some effects of the dynasty field becoming fully year-round. You're seeing more people be in tune in these months in the off-season with the dynasty landscape, being in tune with, hey, this is what I want to get done on my teams, and just in general being around and being available to respond to fellow league mates and to be willing to say, I want to try and make these moves for my team. Combine that with the proliferation of dynasty information, dynasty content creators, how the dynasty space is growing for fantasy football. And what you are starting to see is that a lot more people are being a lot more active all the way around the year. And rather than just looking at our leagues where we say, yeah, in my dynasty leagues, I'm the one person that's grinding all off season. Everyone else comes back towards the season, and then I'm able to rake them over the coals because I know everything that happened throughout the entire offseason. I was kept up to date via my favorite content creators. I know exactly what all the offseason narratives are. I have identified who are all the storylines that everybody looking at in August is going to miss. Instead, a lot more of our competition is doing that same thing. We're seeing a lot more people that are just in general involved, in tune, and are part of the dynasty sphere. And what this shows me is that the dynasty space is getting smarter. Anyone that's played an online game for any length of time will probably recognize this trend that I'm talking about. I know I was a big Overwatch player when that first came out all the way back in 2016, and I played it for like 4.5 or 5 years. And throughout the time of playing Overwatch, I found that those of us who started the game all the way back in 2016 and continued to play learned so much to the point where if I was at the point that I was playing in 2019 and 2020, all the way back in 2016, I would have probably lapped the entire field. I would have been such a better player, and in a competitive game like that, it's based off of your rank. And I would have been a couple tiers of rank higher had I been all the way back in 2016. But I needed to learn how to play the game. And everyone else around me was also learning at a similar rate. It's one of those things where if I stayed static, I would have continued to go down. And there were some people that I knew that did not play the game very much, and they ended up going down in rank as time went on. And so it was one of those things where, all right, I know that I need to continue to learn and get better when I'm playing this game. And it extends to just about everything else. Think about in your job or in your career. You need to continually learn in order to get better, open up new opportunities for yourself. And that's how you continue to be effective. If you just come in with the same set of skills and you do that day after day, the people that come in new after you are going to be more effective as they're familiar with new techniques and new technologies, etc. And what we're starting to see in the Dynasty game is that we're in the middle of one of those shifts. We're in the middle of seeing tons of people become highly educated on this game that we've been playing. If you're like me and you've been playing Dynasty for a little bit now, you have a leg up. You know that these managers are coming in not having the length of experience that you have, where you're able to bypass some of these one-year scenarios that affect your teams, and you aren't falling into the bias of just what happened last season, or falling into the bias of, oh, this player did really well this coming out of this rookie draft, so I want to make sure that when we see another player like them, that I'm getting them. That maybe that player, you need to evaluate him individually and not just try to compare him to somebody else who did well. But these new dynasty managers, they're coming in and they're learning these things and hearing these lessons being imparted to them from content creators like me. They're hearing those same content creators who have been around in the space for a while that have learned all these lessons, impart them into them and make sure that they are not falling into the same traps. And so this general lifting of the skill level of everybody means that we need to adjust. Those of us who have been around for a while, we maybe have part of our strategy is just taking advantage of the fish. Those ones who come into the leagues, have no idea what they're doing. You just be the first one to them and say, hey, I want to make this trade that you know is horribly lopsided in your favor. But by using the free tool of keep trade cut, you're able to just find something that, hey, this looks even on keep trade cut. Here you go. And they think, oh, this is an even deal. That's fine for me to do it then. And so then they go ahead and do it because they want to feel that rush of trading that they all hear about. You don't hear that as much now. You hear a lot of content creators talk about, hey, keep trade cut is a great, useful tool. But then they talk about how you can't use keep trade cut blindly. You have to use it to figure out, okay, what is the market reacting, but that the market isn't real. And that you can't just use the trade calculator there to tell you as a once and for all, is this the right thing? You have the proliferation of tons of tools. You have the warp tool that I have on southarmandff.com. You have other similar tools on other websites. You have all sorts of league management tools. You've got the one that we have at the lab, you have Dynasty Daddy, you have the Dynasty Nerds have had their tool around for forever. And everyone's using something to help them out. It's no longer just people going by their feel. It's no longer just people doing what they think makes sense, managing their team based on how they think an NFL team might be managed. You actually have people understanding how fantasy football works and specifically how the game of Dynasty works. And I think this is one of those signs that we are moving towards that better education. This overall trading happening more in the off-season compared to in-season means that we have more of these Dynasty managers tapped in year-round. Understanding that the narrative throughout March and April that we're going to hear about all these prospects and which ones are moving up and down draft boards and things like that, more people are going to be plugged into that. It's going to be harder to identify some of these sleepers as we get into the NFL draft. It's going to be harder to go through and say, oh, this was the offseason change that happened. Just look at the Commanders getting Deebo Samuel. Well, now everybody's already pretty well aware what that's going to mean for the 49ers wide receiver room. And it's going to be harder to convince that manager in July when they would supposedly come back from their break and start looking at their dynasty teams that, hey, I want that Ricky Pearsall. Because we're all looking at him right now going, yes, Ricky Pearsall is going to be a big, important factor on this 49ers offense, and they believe in him. Because we can already see that they're going to head into the season with Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, and they're going to potentially have Brandon Ayuk, but maybe they won't have him back from his ACL yet. And so those two guys, Pearsall and Jennings, are going to be major impact players for this team that if you said last year that the top two receivers going into the 2025 season were Pearsall and Jennings, a lot of people would have been like, well, what the heck happens to this team? Like, how did it all fall apart? And it's these kinds of things, those kinds of narratives that are not going to be something that fewer people are aware of. More people are aware of those things. More people are aware of those player takes, those player evaluations. And it's going to come a lot more down to your edge is playing a strategy and specifically refining your strategy to make sure you're best taking advantage of your specific league. How do you understand that difference of values that your league mates are allowing you to take? And maybe it means that you can have some symbiotic relationships, because identifying that there are multiple different ways to win a championship and that you don't need to do that every single year. When I was looking at some of these past episodes and saying, Yeah, the year of the studs this past year, that was what won you championships. Well, the year before, it was having those top backup quarterbacks. And the year before that, it was having the top backup running backs. But none of those strategies is going to win you a championship every single year. It just happens to be the dominant strategy for that year. So, what we need to be able to do is understand that we have a strategy that we think puts ourselves in a good position to be able to be in that conversation. And the winning strategy is going to come out over the course of the year, and you have to find a way to fall yourself into it. You have to find a way to make sure that you have the right assets on your team, that you can trade your way into what you need in order to win that championship. You need to find a way to make sure that you can take those players that you have scoring points on your roster and get them into your lineup. And it might be that the strategy that you're used to doing is already being done by two or three other managers in your league. And so you need to come up with a different, fresh, new idea so that way you guys are not all fighting for the same resources. If everyone's trying to get two of the top-tier rushing quarterbacks, well, there's really only four of those guys floating around right now. So you can only have if everyone's gunning for them, you can have two teams that have both of them, or you could have up to four teams that have one. And everyone else doesn't have any of those guys. And so you need to have a separate strategy that doesn't involve having one of those guys, especially if you can get everyone to overpay for them. And it's this adjustment of strategy, which I think is the next phase of Dynasty. It's understanding how to identify various types of team roster constructions that you can play to in a specific league, and allow yourself to be flexible and not be stuck to any one strategy. I talk about tight ends don't matter a lot, but it doesn't mean that I need to be allergic to getting a tight end. Like, I can utilize the fact that I don't value the tight end position to make it so that way I am pushing that value into all the other positions in that league. But if I'm sitting there and I'm going, you know what? Nobody else is valuing the tight end. Now I want to try and figure out some alternate strategy. Maybe everyone's focusing in on the wide receivers like I would normally do. And instead I go lean at wide receiver and focus in on that tight end, running back, and quarterback. It's that alternate strategy and finding out how to identify in your league when that is possible is the next step in understanding what we need to do as dynasty managers. And ultimately, understanding that next step is the thing that you need to do to stay ahead, to use your past experience and not get swallowed up by the influx of people that are learning all these lessons, both live and from other dynasty creators who are imparting that knowledge upon them. So that's ultimately where this led me to for this week. I was just looking to recap something from last year that I thought was important. And off of another year's worth of data, I noticed a trend that I think can be explained by that we're all getting smarter. And more specifically, those other dynasty managers in your leagues that you know don't listen to a podcast exactly like this are at least listening to other places where they are being smarter and you cannot take advantage of them as easily. And we as a dynasty community as a whole, those of us who have been taking advantage of that, need to find new ways to refine our strategies and not get caught up in the fluff that would bring us back to their same level, because they're going to catch up to us really quick. That's everything that I have for this week. If you haven't, please go to southharmonff.com and check out all the amazing things that we have there. Go to patreon.com/southharmon in order to join the community, and reach out to me on X @DynastyKoopa and everywhere else @KoopaTroopa8. that's everything that I have for you this week. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.